Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. But if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalm 84, and I'll read and teach through the whole chapter. "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca maketh it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God, than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." Heavenly Father, once again we come before you. Once again we would seek to be fed of your word. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life, and if we eat of him, we'll have eternal life. Our souls will be at rest as we feast upon his word." O Shepherd from heaven, please feed us today. And Lord, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been trying for years to get something across. And maybe I'm just not a good preacher. Maybe I'm not that bright. I don't know. But there's something that burns in my heart that I long for in my own life. And even more than that, I somehow wish that in my ministry, my preaching, my singing, my writing, whatever I do, that the people whom I'm privileged to minister to, that they would somehow understand what it is that I've been trying to get across. And again, maybe I've done a good job, maybe I've done poorly, but it seems to me, and when I stumble across this passage asking God what to preach on, it seemed that this Psalm 84, said exactly what it was I've been trying to say all these years. So I'll try to go through it, and maybe the Lord will help us. But it starts off talking about how amiable or how pleasant, agreeable, admirable. It's an old word. Nobody uses amiable anymore. But how pleasant are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Now, we understand then, and you know that I've taught extensively from the Old Testament. We understand the tabernacle in the wilderness. We understand perhaps when David had the brazen altar and they went here and there to Shiloh and whatever. Perhaps we can talk about the Temple of Solomon when David's son Solomon finally built a permanent place for God's house and for his presence to dwell. Also, you can come to the New Testament and understand that we're the temple of God, Paul said, for the Spirit of God dwells within us. But it says how wonderful, how admirable, how pleasant are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Then it says, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Those three verses, that describes what I want my relationship with God to be. That describes the longing in my heart, again, for me and for you. I'm a pastor. I'm really an evangelist and I've done missionary work, but these last couple of years I find that in two churches I do pastoral work. Here in Denham Springs at Faith Fellowship, we don't have a pastor, but the bishop, he's the interim, and I'm his associate. And I guess with Brother Chesteen, I'm one of the associates, I suppose. But I've been preaching here about a year and a half, functioning as a pastor, because, again, the church has no pastor. Down in New Orleans, in Metairie, and then before that on the West Bank, even when I tried a couple of years before that, I'm trying to start a church, Old Paths Tabernacle, and I've told you all of these stories. A pastor is supposed to try and grow his church. Certainly, I want people to come here. We need to fill these chairs up. Want to get some people that would want to work in the church down in Metairie. By all means, I want people to come to church. But many times, way too often actually, what people end up seeing is a few trees and they miss the forest. And it's a vast forest. I preached not that long ago about Ezekiel 47, how that the man with the line in his hand took Ezekiel in the vision. They started at one side on the bank of the river that flowed out of God's throne or tabernacle, if you want to say, looking here at verse 1. They started in, they went a quarter mile, and the water was to the ankles. Then another quarter, it was to the knees. Another quarter to the loins. And then finally, a mile out, it says that the water was over Ezekiel's head, and he couldn't touch bottom. He could swim, and there was no way. He knew there was no way that he was going to be able to get to the other side. It was just too great of a river. And we said that it's a progression, a symbolic progression. You get saved, your direction changes. You walk in sin, you repent, you turn around. And then to the knees, you begin to pray. Then to the loins, you begin to win souls. And as far as you want to go with God, or should I say, as far as you allow God to take you, God has even more for you. He has more than we can even ask or think, it says in one of the epistles that Paul wrote. The disciples lived with Jesus, slept beside him in a tent or under a tree or wherever they were. For 3.5 years, they roamed the countryside of Judea and what have you, preaching the gospel. Again, sleeping under trees and what have you, whatever they could find. When Jesus woke in the morning, hey, the disciples were there, and all during the day, Jesus was there. At night, what do you know? He's a couple of feet away, perhaps Peter said. And for 3.5 years, they were with him. There's a relationship there. But what I'm trying to say is too often people see church things. Doesn't matter what church, some to one degree or some to a greater degree or lesser degree, but most of the time in most churches, and I hate to say it, I hate to speak bad about churches, it's not my intent. I'm sure there are many good churches, but people begin to see the things that go on during the service. Some churches, we don't do it here, and I don't do it down the road in New Orleans. I have a general outline of what I'd like to do, how I'd like to start the service with singing and maybe prayer, maybe a testimony or something. At some point, we're going to take the offering, maybe sing a special song or something. We're going to preach, and hopefully some sort of an invitation that somebody would respond to the preaching. There's a general outline of how I'd like this service to go. Many churches, they print the outline in the bulletin, and everybody knows that Sister So-and-so is going to sing, and then the deacon's going to say something, and they're going to take up an offering, and then whatever. I've seen it so bad to where if they do it out of order, people get upset. They expect it to go a certain way. And if they do that at your church, I'm sorry, I'm not picking on your church. Please misunderstand. If you're listening already, I'm not picking on your church. My focus is not to say anything bad about any church. My focus is to lift up Jesus Christ. And I've said this before, and I've said it poorly, but it's not about how the church is conducted. It's not the color of the pews or the color of the carpet. It's not who we're going to elect for deacon next year or whatever. But in many churches, that's all the people are concerned about. The Bible says, and I preached it a few weeks ago, that Jesus went into one town, and when they found out he was there, he went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee or whatever, they found out he was there, and they sent runners 2, 3, 4, 5 miles, running to this town, running to that town, telling the people, maybe ringing the bell or whatever, or beating the drum or whatever to get people's attention and saying, hey, Jesus is over here at the beach next to this other town over here. Y'all come. And if anybody's sick or half dead or possessed with some demon or something, you get them over there because Jesus is here. Y'all heard about him? We all believe that he's the Messiah. Come on, let's go. I'm running back. Y'all come with me. Let's go see Jesus. They dropped everything they were doing to go see Jesus. I don't care what color carpet you have. It doesn't matter. What matters is Jesus. What matters is Jesus. He's the one that gave his life on the cross of Calvary. He's the one that suffered and bled and died for our sins and for the sins of the entire world. I hate being a killjoy. I hate any kind of correction. I don't enjoy it, but I know in my own life I've seen more than the color of the carpet. I've caught a glimpse of the King of Kings. And there have been times in my life when I've been very close to the Lord. Verse 2 and verse 3 here, that's how I felt. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Verse 3, it says, yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. You can't get more secure than that You know, bird takes all of his time looking for food and looking for a place to sit where he won't get eaten. And that bird finds a place, this is the right place, that other one won't do, it's got to be right here, and goes get sticks or whatever, twigs or something, and makes a nest. And then she's always watching out for the cat or the snake or whatever, but this is the place that she chose to lay eggs and raise her young. But it says, the altars of God, the house of God, the courts of God, the tabernacle of God, that's the place that God has for us. It says in verse 4, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. I'm reminded of when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, that they cut down palm branches, and he was riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. We know that. And they took palm branches, cut them down, and threw them or strew them in front of him where the donkey would ride. We've seen in movies and what have you, there's the king and he's walking down the road or whatever, and there's some little fool, I guess, some servant with a silly hat or whatever, that's taking rose petals or something and throwing them on the ground so that the king doesn't have his foot touch the ground but the rose petals. That's what they did for Jesus. They took palm branches, maybe not roses, but they threw them in front of the path of the donkey and sang, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Maybe they had a glimpse, I don't know, but that's what they were moved upon by the Spirit to do. We ought to spend our time praising God, worshiping him, and crying out for more of him. I don't care for more of church. I don't really care about church. I want something that touches my heart. I want something that stirs me on the inside. I want something that satisfies my soul in drought. I want what the woman at the well had, that she drank from the living water that Jesus had. Dropped her water pot, ran into the city, and was the first woman evangelist, I guess, said, hey, come see a man. He told me everything I ever did. Her soul was satisfied. The longing in her soul was satisfied. The emptiness and the thirst in her soul, the Holy Spirit satisfied. Instead of looking at what somebody has on or what kind of hat, pretty hat or ugly hat, none of that stuff matters. What matters is that we catch a glimpse of Jesus Christ. Not to say that he's going to appear, I don't believe in any of that stuff, but he touches the heart. He illuminates the Word of God. And he quenches the thirst in our hearts if we let him.
Saw the cross he carried up to Calvary's hill. I never saw the precious blood that my Savior spilled. I never heard the mob that cried, oh, let him be crucified. No, I never saw him, but I believe for me he died. And every step he took,
Opportunity to see, but I'm so glad that I believe that when Jesus died, even over 2,000 years ago, before I, oh, thank you, Jesus. I believe Jesus had me in mind. Hallelujah. I never saw rusty nails that they drove through his hands and his feet. And you see, I wasn't there to hear him say to his father, "Why have thou forsaken me?" Remember the reading this? I never saw the Roman soldiers when they pierced him in his side.
But when he hung his head and the locks of his shoulder, I believe. Shall praise the Lord. And every drop of blood he shed, I'm glad he shed it just for me. Now there's a lot of things that I cannot see. Thank you, Lord.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.